Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inner Spark Radio. I'm your host, Lena Gazurian. And just as a reminder, you can learn more about upcoming shows as well as listen to archive shows at innersparkradio.com, also on Blog Talk Radio and on iTunes. And let's see if this is Melissa. Melissa?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I was just going to introduce you, so perfect. Yeah, great to have you here on the line. Let me just let everyone know just a little bit about you. So we have today Melissa Catherine. I'm really looking forward to talking with her about how to stop food cravings naturally. And Melissa Catherine, she's a certified holistic nutritionist, weight loss and lifestyle expert, and speaker. And as the owner and founder of Melissa Catherine LLC, a holistic weight loss and lifestyle practice, Melissa has coached hundreds of women around the world, helping them transform their bodies and life through the power of healthy living, unique nutrition styling, and inspired fitness infused with positive thinking. Melissa has been a featured TEDx speaker, an expert guest on New York Live, and a writer for publications such as Real Simple and Shape magazine. So welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, I'm really excited to have you here. It's such a, I think it's a topic that so many of us can relate to. And although you work with women primarily, I think this applies, what we're going to talk about applies to men and women. So
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. No one gets away from food and in their issues, right? So, I mean, no one gender. So.
No, unfortunately, it's with all of us, yes.
Yeah, it's with all of us. So, yeah, I think it would be really inspiring and interesting, of course, if you would share with us your own journey, how you came to this work as a holistic nutritionist, coach, and lifestyle expert.
Yeah, wow. So this goes that far. Essentially, what really happened for me was I remember looking in the mirror when I was 10 years old, and I wrote in my diary that I needed to lose 10 pounds. And when we're young, we're really impressionable, and we're building our confidence. And for girls in particular, the weight and the way that we see ourselves, we always want to look like our friends, and there's that awareness that comes. And I love my mother. She's one of my best friends. But, you know, she would introduce me as her big bone daughter and kind of say, oh, you look good in this, or you don't have the legs to wear that, or different things. And so I just started thinking, well, what's wrong with me? And so I guess I'm fat. And so I was brought to a Weight Watchers meeting when I was 12, and her true intention, you know, my mom really honestly just wanted me to learn how to eat right, and she just wanted me to look my best, and was just doing the best that she could in that way. But what happens with all of this is we create these stories, these different mm-hmm. limiting beliefs from these things that stay with us. And for me, mine became my weight, and my weight was my struggle, and that really was one of those things where I never necessarily had an eating disorder by standards of anorexia or bulimia, but I had a really unhealthy relationship with food and myself and my body. And being that young and not really knowing how to feel about all of that, I turned to food for emotional eating, right? Like, so mm-hmm. a big thing of what we're talking about today is and I'll streamline my story here, but is that, you know, when we're born, we're given breast milk or we're fed formula from someone that loves us, and it's a sweet substance, right? And so, mm-hmm. and then as we grow up, we're conditioned, birthdays, you know, you celebrate with cake, you're sad, let's get ice cream, you hurt yourself, you skinned your knee or fell off your bike, let's go get ice cream, right? So there's always, especially culturally, there's just that connection. And for me, I turned to food. And so fast forward, after college, I moved to New York City, and I had always tried dieting and different things. But it was really after that I tried every diet, and I did even did Weight Watchers, and I just was assessing points to everything, and I just really had an unhealthy relationship with food. And I was, you know, the picture of health on the outside. I was, you know, I had a job in the fashion industry. I was a personal trainer on the side. I'm a size 2. I was, you know, this and that. But on the inside, the way that I talked to myself, my food obsession, and all of that was really running the show, and I basically created a dieter's prison around myself that I lived in. That was, you know, my self-worth and happiness was really dependent upon, you know, what I, how I felt in my jeans and what I saw in the mirror. And it wasn't until I, years later, I had gone back to school for holistic nutrition and did food, the study of food and psychology, and just did a kind of different work around this. And I actually was a fitness competitor, and I won Best Body, and I stood on stage in a very barely there bikini, and I won. And I'm sitting up there, and I'm standing in front of my family, God bless my brothers and my father, for having seen this. And but I ended up gaining the weight back 6 months later because, and that was the pivotal. That's when I really realized what I was meant to do, which was it's the mindset and it's that piece of really loving yourself and connecting. Because you can go on a million diets, you can lose weight, but it's keeping it off and really, really staying true to yourself and knowing what your body needs and connecting to yourself and really loving yourself and being really, truly mind-bodily healthy. And that's really my story. And once I learned that, that was the method that I created that I teach to people today.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And also, I've seen your TED Talk video, and I would encourage people to look at that also, because in that, yeah, it's really inspiring. And well, we can get to that. I was going to say there's something about dreams, which we may get to later. But I was wondering if you could just maybe say a little bit more about the importance of the mindset and connecting, in relation to this, you know, to food and weight and having a healthier relationship.
Oh, of course. So, honestly, for everyone on the call, your mindset, I mean, anything in life, you'll notice that everyone talks about mindset. When it comes to our weight, what I see so much that happens now is the average woman, and not meaning to put this into men and women, but the average woman spends 31 years of her life dieting and 6 months out of the year calorie counting.
Wow.
That's a lot of time. In that time, we're born and we forget that our bodies are, we're animals by nature. We have this innate ability to, when we actually listen to it, to be directed on exactly what it is we want and need in life for everything, right? And yet we ignore it. We ignore it, we ignore it, we ignore it, and we push and we let our minds do, and we sit there and we go, should I go paleo? Should I go low-fat? Carbs are evil. I read carbs are evil. I need to be doing this. I think my hormones are off. Maybe that's what it is. Well, it's this, it's that. I should be eating 6 times a day, right? Like, I start working with people, and they're like, well, I eat 6 times a day. Well, I heard this meal, and I just go, stop. Take out everything you thought you knew. Your body wants to be at its ideal weight. You are the only thing keeping it from that. So really being connected is, how are you talking to yourself?
Yeah.
Is your manner in conversation, you know, is it the way that you would ever speak to your own child, pet, or parent, best friend? If it's not, you need to shift that, because your body and your opinion is the only opinion that matters, and your body is the only one that you're ever going to have. So, you know, I say simple. I really try to put things into simple analogies that people can really get. And when I say we're animals by nature, people are like, okay. And I just say it like this. If you have a pet or a child you're going to take it out for a walk first thing in the morning and feed it. Why wouldn't you do that for you? Right?
Right.
So, you know, your child needs to be fed in the morning or else it cries or it's not gonna grow. Same thing with pets. But yet we'll wake up exhausted, go right for coffee, not move our bodies, not even check in and say, what is it I want? How am I feeling? What do I want today? And then we push it and go, damn it, why aren't you giving me what I want? Why are you gaining weight? Why are you having this illness or ailment? And so the connection is really about stop, breathe, reconnect. Working out doesn't mean that you have to kill it in the gym or do a boot camp. I just move your body. Walking is like the number one proven method for weight loss, weight maintenance, and just overall health.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, drinking water, just simple. I take people back to the basics because we overcomplicate and then we spin our wheels and then we give up.
Or maybe try to take on too much at one time, too many different changes. Do you find that?
Well, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah. It's like, people start with me and they're like, Melissa, I'm going to work out 6 days this week. And I go, okay, so let's just rewind. You're currently doing what? And they go, oh, well, I haven't worked out in like 3 months. No, I've been. And I go, but you're gonna work out. But I get it. You get excited, right? Like,
yeah,
like, no,
right.
I want to do this. I'm ready. It will burn you out, and that's why like challenges. When people are like, I did this 30-day challenge. It was amazing. I never felt so good. When was that? It's like 2 years ago. I felt so good. So then, take me through what happened. I felt great during the challenge, but then afterwards, you know, I kind of like within a week, I was right back to where I started. That's why I tell people challenges are great, but small steps will give you really, really great, big, lasting results. And then it doesn't feel so overwhelming.
Right. And do you, when you work with people, I know that it says that you also do hypnotherapy, and when you work with people, is that some of the time, just depending on who wants it or who you think would benefit from it, or is that most people you work with, or what's your experience in that with our relationship to food? We are going to get to cravings and all that too, but we're just leading up to it.
Of course. So I know, and you've got to like control me because I get so passionate that I'll be like, and I want to tell you guys everything. I'm like, you need to control me. Hypnotherapy is something that I got. I went and I said, I wanted a modality that I want to learn that I've done myself. And I've done a lot of different things. I've done NLP, blah, blah, blah. And I was looking for something where I said, when it comes to emotional eating, when it comes to craving, when it comes to a lot of things around our bodies, they are based on limiting beliefs. And I'm enthralled. I'm just obsessed with our minds, the subconscious mind, and how limiting beliefs really start at such a young age. Our subconscious mind stops forming after the age of 8. So we're essentially adults running around with 8-year-old minds making most of our decisions. Mm-hmm. You notice a lot of those patterns and beliefs and things of when you were a child are still with you. That's why, right? So. And we often forget about the things that brought us there. So when I really did hypnosis and I said, wow, this is really fascinating, people think of hypnosis as like what you see where it's like, you know, you're going to quack like a duck and run around the stage. That is not at all. Hypnosis is just a deep form of meditation. You're very aware of everything, but it's a way for us to really get, expedite our results and speak to your subconscious mind and just do some repatterning and kind of understand where those blocks came from. So it's been really, really fascinating. And just like with the way that I work, to answer your question, Nina, is everything that I do is customized. Even my group programs, I end up doing an analysis around the group of people that signed up and then say, okay, based on this, what are your goals? But I believe everyone's body is different, everyone's lifestyle is different, everyone's needs and goals are different. And it's the same thing with hypnotherapy. I have some clients that love it. They start doing it and they're like, okay, this is what I want to do with most of my sessions. I have others that are like, yeah, let's try it. They do it. They're like, that was great. Maybe once a month, or maybe we'll do it 3 times in our time together. It really depends on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I was just wondering what you thought in terms of the potency of that in terms of helping people make lasting changes or shifting changes. If you notice it in people who do and people who don't, that kind of thing.
The work that I do, I mean, just my coaching method in general, I go deep and I'm very results-oriented. I'm not one of these, like, stay with me forever, which isn't the best business model, but I'm like, I want you in, I want you good, and resources to last for life. And that's that. I want you to have lasting weight loss. I want you to be connected to you, and I want us time together for your body and life to look and feel dramatically different and for you to really be in a state of thriving and really feeling empowered in all areas, because that's really what weight loss is, just a conduit, right? To just feeling more and more empowered into your own greatness. Really, I use the tagline, become the best version of you. Everyone's version is different, you know? Mm-hmm. The hypnotherapy I have seen just absolutely stunning and incredible things that have come from it. It's really, I'm constantly impressed by the results that come.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing that piece. Yeah. Well, so in terms of cravings, I wanted to ask you if you would define a little bit the difference between what's a true food craving or maybe food addiction, emotional craving versus, I mean, how can we look at it versus occasionally you go to a party, there's a lot of food out, you eat a lot of food, or someone brings cookies to work and you eat too many cookies. And, you know, what's the difference if somebody has a true food craving that's getting in the way?
So here's the thing. We all have food cravings. You know, I use the term emotional eater and people are like, I'm not an emotional eater. Well, we all are to a degree. Right? I just said, you know, we're born, we're breastfed, that. Some people really are emotionally connected, and those cravings come about because their relationship with food runs on a deeper level. They are actually getting something from it. And I say this, and people might be like, this just sounds silly. But I really want you to think about it. There are many people that I work with really, it's they look forward to that experience with food. They are getting more than just a good tasty meal. They are getting a satisfaction. It is an escape. It is helping to suppress feelings that they don't want to feel. Simple things like having a job that you don't like, and at 4 o'clock you're sitting there or you're working on a project and you're like, you know, constantly getting up and going to the kitchen or rummaging through drawers or going back to cookies that somebody brought in and you can't seem to get away from them. Because you're not liking the work that's in front of you. There are reasons behind it. Yes, we all have cravings, and we all have those times where we have a bad day and someone's like, let's just go have wine let me just go eat some pizza and some ice cream, and that's all that I want. And it is making me feel better, just like sometimes retail therapy can just feel better. The difference between that and it being something that's detrimental, and that's where I talk to people and I say, there's one thing where you have an experience where you overeat and maybe you feel sick a bit and you're like, man, I really overeat, and it doesn't happen often. That's okay. But when it becomes a constant occurrence and the aftermath is more detrimental, meaning that it derails you for a week, or it starts with like, you know, berating yourself, and then you feel bad, and then you don't get off, right? And then it goes into the whole thing where one missed workout is 2 weeks, and then you binge one night, and then you beat yourself up, and then you don't like yourself. That's then, it's detrimental. And so when it comes to cravings, I tell people, The occasional craving happens when you wake up and all you're thinking about is food, and then you have a meal and you can't wait for the next meal, or you have that one thing and you can't wait to get home to have that ice cream or that jar of peanut butter or that bag of chips, and it's consuming your thoughts. Like, I used an example in a webinar I just did, that, and a lot of people wrote me about it, and they were like, oh, my God, I felt like it was me, where I said, you know, do you find yourself, you had a rough day at work, and all of a sudden you're telling yourself, no, you're going to go home and make a healthy meal, and all of a sudden it's like you're on autopilot, like you're not even present, and you're in the car, and you're driving to the grocery store, and all of a sudden you're in an aisle staring at an Entenmann's, the very thing that you said you weren't going to eat, and
yeah.
somehow you're buying it. And it's like you're not even there, and then the whole thing's gone, and you're like, what just happened? It's like, you know, and
yeah.
so that then is a different experience. So cravings, what I tell people is, there's two things, there's many things, but I've broken it into two types of cravings, and I don't want to get too elaborate because I don't want to confuse, and I want to give people on your call, your audience, really actionable things. So you guys, I want you to think about this. If you just get up and you're standing in front of your refrigerator and you're going, I'm hungry, but I don't know what I'm hungry for, you are not hungry. You don't want to be doing or feeling or experiencing what it is that's in front of you at that time. Maybe you're bored, maybe you're lonely, maybe you have a project, maybe you're unfulfilled. Whatever it is, if you don't know what you're hungry for and you're just sitting there staring at it, you're not hungry. Okay, so I want to encourage you to do an activity or to ask yourself, okay, what's going on in my life right now? Am I truly hungry? Because when we're really hungry, we're like, somebody feed me something, like I kind of feel sick, right? Like,
yeah.
I need a real meal. You're not like, where is that mint chip ice cream, you know?
Right.
And I say mint chip because that's my go-to. I love that stuff. So in the flip side, a good tool is if you feel hungry or you think you're hungry, say, okay, kind of feel hungry. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I'm going to eat my arm, 1 being I'm not hungry at all, ask yourself, where am I on that scale of hunger, right? You want to be anywhere from like 8 to 9. Anything before that, it's like really push to feel hunger. There's something in the United States where like we like fear a hunger pang. We're like, what will I do? Like somehow we're not going to have food. There's always food, right? So
yeah.
Allow yourself to feel hunger. Allow yourself to feel connected to your body. So then really say, okay, what is it I'm hungry for? Again, if you're like, I want those barbecue chips. I want this. You're not really hungry. You want protein. You want something, right? You'd be like a burger. I want a steak. Or I want a big salad. Like, you want a meal of some sort. And if you're not, and you say, okay, so the questions are, what is it I'm hungry? Am I really hungry? Scale of 1 to 10. What is it I'm hungry for? And if the scale of 1 to 10, you're not that hungry, and you're going, okay, well, then what is it I'm hungry for? Meaning, what is it I'm craving? And it's like, well, I really want to go and get, you know, a pastry and a coffee right now. So then ask yourself, what's going on in my life right now? Assess the situation. Is food going to solve the problem? What can I do instead? Now, you might still go for that coffee and pastry, but at least you're starting off here and you're getting connected and you're actually stopping to assess and ask and connect and ask yourself what's going on. And in doing that, you're empowering yourself to be aware that there is a choice to be made and that you are in control of that choice.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference from feeling like you have no choice.
Big, big difference. Yeah, when you talked about being on autopilot, that was actually something I had written down somewhere in my notes that I wanted to ask you about, because it seems like there's an aspect of that when we've got a craving, it's like we go blank or we go not. Well, I guess I can't speak for everyone, but I guess there's a sense of being on autopilot and not being able to think even. You're just reacting or habitually, you know, doing something. So I guess to get ourselves to stop and ask those questions, or at least even a couple of those questions, breaks the trance, right?
It does. And taking that autopilot, right, it's really disempowering. It's like we feel that we have absolutely no control. And that's what I hear time and time again. It's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, it's constant. I'm always trying to lose weight. I've been on a diet forever. And you feel like you have no control over the scale, no matter what you're doing. And what happens with all of these diets is you end up, we're a society built on instant gratification. That's why it's the idea of simplicity. It's like, what? You want to make it easy on me? No. Because the human mind, humans actually have a higher threshold for pain than we do for happiness. So we're sitting there like, simple? Ease? What, you mean just lose weight without trying? Oh, God, no, that would be too easy. No, I need to beat myself up, and then I need to starve myself in deprivation and stay in because, you know, no, and I need to do these workouts. I can't stand. You know, that's the only way that I see the scale move. No, I need to be on a diet. I can't eat what I want. No, I won't be able to control. No, I can't do that. I never lose weight that way. Right? No, I can't have it feel good. God forbid, right? And so that's really what happens. And so, you know, we go from diet, and then when we don't see a result in 2 weeks or when we just start to, we sabotage ourselves. And then we go, oh, that didn't work. And then we try something new. And oh, that didn't work. And then we try something new. And then we just keep gaining and losing and yo-yoing. And you know what's the worst part is? Because we've done that so much, we actually feel like we've been on a perpetual diet. When in reality, if you actually just added up the amount of not just thinking about it, because it's proven that in our minds, if we think we're doing something and we put that much energy into it, even just mentally, even if the action isn't behind it, right? Like if we just are thinking about how much we don't want to work out and stuff, we actually feel like we have, right? So it's the same thing. Like if you mentally are putting yourself in that space, I really want to say and say to people often, and this is where my clients kind of get like, they're like, with some of your tough love, man, you just like called me out. And I'm like, that's what I'm here for. You're not paying me so we can sit here and you can be where you started at the end. Right.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I always say, are you showing up for you? Right. Like you didn't just get this. So it's the same thing as like, hi, I'm going to pay for a trainer, but my body doesn't change. Well, then all you're doing is showing up when you have two sessions. What are you doing in between? So I push you. I say, are you showing up? Out of these 7 days in a week, what are you taking the weekends off? Are you binging four nights out of the seven? Are you like, what are we really doing? Are you skimping on sleep? Like, how much are you really showing up for you? And that's another big thing with cravings, you guys. If you are low on sleep, which most of us are, and what I always hear too is I'm a night owl, and it's like only proven that like 4% of people are actually night owls and can survive on 5 to 6 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4% of people in the human population, right? So the chances of most people being that are slim to none. What we really do is we just push our bodies in survival mode, and we push past our time for sleep. And why I'm just telling you this, just quick snippet with sleep, you guys, is if you're not getting sleep, your cravings, you will never be satisfied. That next day, you could be like an endless disposal, and not only that, the only thing your body is going to want is sugar and carbs, and it won't be satisfied otherwise because it's smart, and it knows that you can get a lot of energy from those things.
Yeah.
And so all you'll do the next day, which is what most people do, is they're short on sleep, so they get up and they grab a ginormous coffee. So instead of giving their body water, they flush it with a drug, a stimulant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it. So then your body's like, whoo-hoo. You can't see me right now, but I was just doing some sort of rapid movement.
Imagine you with... Yeah, your hands up. Yeah.
Yeah, my hands are like, and I'm like doing things like a monkey. I'm like, woo! And then you're like on speed, right, for a short stint. So then your heart's going and you're like, yeah, okay, great. And your body's like, okay, we're awake for a minute. Well, then it's going to crash, but you can't crash because you just got to work or you have to run your kids around or you have to do whatever it is you're doing or you're in whatever. And so then you go and your body's like, grab a carb. Why do you think Dunkin' Donuts? It's like, you know, every place where you get coffee is filled with pastries. There's a reason, ding, ding, ding. Cards. Mm-hmm. Coffee and cards go hand in hand. Why? Because once you have one, you need the other.
Mm.
Keeps your energy up. Mm-hmm. Well, momentarily, until you crash, and then you need more of it. The coffee hour, witching hour, are always first thing in the morning and again around 2 o'clock and then at like 4 o'clock. And then anything after that, and people are just up till all hours.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that the sleep piece is really important, and I'm glad you mentioned that in relation to cravings, because I'm not sure many of us would necessarily put that together like the way you did.
Oh, you'll be craving things all day.
Yeah.
If you're down like that, and then not to mention your hormones are all off, your cortisol, your belly fat, anybody that's got belly fat, the number one way to lose belly fat is by leveling out your cortisol. The number one way to level out cortisol is by actually getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And in the winter, it's 8 to 9.
Wow. Good. That's a good tip. And I just wanted to add one quick thing, too, that has helped me at times when if I've been craving something. And I want to get to the head and heart cravings, because I think that's actually really interesting for people to know as well. But let's say I've been in the midst of where I just can't think of anything but having chocolate or something, right? Then what I do is I tell myself, okay, I can still have, if I want it, if I still want it in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, then I'll get it. So I find that really helpful, because I'm not saying I can't have it, which would probably put me into some sort of rebellion. but I'm still saying I'm allowing myself to have it if I want it. But then I notice that if I wait, it does dissipate. And I think there's something to just stopping that autopilot moment too. That's helpful. So I just wanted to throw that little piece out there, as if it's been helpful to me to do that.
No, it's huge. And I will just say this to back up what you're saying. You guys, nobody, our subconscious mind does not understand the word no. So when you tell yourself, I'm not going to eat cake, I'm not going to eat at this party, I'm not going to drink too much, I'm not going to, all it hears is the opposite. I'm going to eat cake. I'm going to drink a lot at this party. I'm going to eat the buffet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to know that if you go in saying no, 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 it does not understand the word no.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's so interesting, because that's not something we're commonly taught as
no.
a way to approach, right? I mean, our approach is no, you know, like you were saying before, is like a lot of struggle, and it's very sort of hardcore. And so it does. It really helps to just relax and say, okay, yeah, I can have it if I want it, and then wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you've cut off that moment. So, yeah, that's another, you're giving us all kinds of really good pieces of information, Melissa.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this is really great. So yeah, and I would love it if you would tell us what are head cravings and what are heart cravings, and you know, how to
yes.
identify them and what's the difference. I think that's really, really interesting that I heard you talk about.
Yeah, so head cravings and heart cravings, this is something that I created, and like I said, I've coached. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm worried I lost you for a minute.
No, I'm here.
That, so after coaching so many women and men too, I do want you to know I started with men as well, I saw that there were two types of cravings. It's like we always went into these categories, and I was fascinated. Again, I'm fascinated by our minds, and really what are the driving components behind these? And I really saw that people were always like, no, I'm sweet, no, I'm salty. Or there's always that mix, if you notice. Ben and Jerry's is brilliant at doing this, but
yeah.
The sweet and salty, right? So a lot of us have both, but there is one that's always more predominant. So head cravings, and again, I don't want to overwhelm, and I could do an entire just talk on this, but head cravings, so I'll say this. Head cravings, the foods that we have from them, are generally, when we have a head craving, we want things that are crunchy. We want to chew, right? Like munch, munch on something. So chips, party foods, nuts, popcorn. We're in that space where we just want to keep crunching and crunching and crunching, right? And that's why a lot of people like pretzels. and they could just sit there and they're like, oh my God, the whole thing is gone, or goldfish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those, that head cravings really come about from emotions that are under this umbrella are really anxiety, overwhelm, and stress. Those would be the top three. Anxiety, overwhelm, and stress. So if you're sitting there and you know that this is what you're prone to, you will want to go to those foods that give you that crunch, granola, nuts, anything that's just crunch, 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 crunch. That being said, again, what I tell people is when you feel that coming on and you're noticing that, say, am I really hungry? What's going on in my life right now? Is food going to solve the problem? What can I do instead? Now, the head cravings, again, can come on from stress, anxiety, and overwhelm. And it's generally looking at your life. So it can be, are you experiencing a lot of stress at work, at home, in your relationships, right? Where are you feeling this overwhelm? And generally, head cravings come from a feeling of a lack of control. Mm. So when we're not in control, we're like, okay, I just need to chew on something. I don't really know. I'm feeling like a lot of anxiety, right? And so mm-hmm. we just want to do that. Heart cravings are different. So they're more characterized. The foods would be creamy, smooth, sweet, cheeses, ice cream, cakes, puddings, things that have a variety of those mixtures, savory, right? And what these really come down to, head cravings, is from a lack of fulfillment, either a lack of fulfillment in life.
Oh, in heart life. Cravings, you mean, yeah.
Heart cravings, yes.
Yeah.
With your job, where are you not feeling fulfilled? Because where are you not feeling connected, right? Often this really comes about, and where I see this really show up, is when you're not fully fulfilled in your romantic relationships, when you're missing, when there's still you maybe have not forgiven somebody or yourself. There's a lack of fulfillment, meaning you're not fulfilling your own true purpose or passion. You're not fully expressed in your life or self-expressed, right? So anytime we're suppressing those things, we suppress them through these foods. So we're going, okay, and then we look for it, and then it's the pastries or the chocolate and things of that nature. And that's really that's the most simplistic way for me to talk about that.
No, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, so we're looking for a state change, basically. That's what that's what I heard Dr. Sarah Gottfried say when she was talking about emotional eating or addictive eating, that we're looking for, what we're looking for in that moment is a state change. And I thought, that's it. So when you work with women, when you work with now just women, I guess, underneath that, then I guess you work with them in terms of trying to find out what they're really craving. So in life, right? I mean, these are the questions we're asking ourselves, but even on a deeper, bigger level, that's really
what
you're getting at.
Yeah, that's why the work that I do, when I got started, I said, do I want to go back and be a dietitian, a nutritionist, this, that? And what I saw as a missing component and why I created this one-stop shop for women that combines nutrition, fitness, fashion, styling, and mindset is because I wanted a cohesive, because in the holistic aspect is it's, you have to look at all aspects of your life. You didn't just put weight on because you just put weight on. Right? It's not just about food, and it's not just about fitness.
Yeah.
Right? Food takes on a different meaning, and it impacts people differently. If you're not happy at work, or if your work is completely stressing you out, and you're sitting there until 10 o'clock at night or this and that, you're not getting sleep. You are on tons of coffee. You're highly stressed, and you're eating on the go or grabbing what you can or probably skipping meals. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a new mom, or if you're a grandparent, like there's so many different factors. And so, it's never just about that. You have to look at the person's whole life and really see what's going on. And once you shift the weight, everything else shifts. It's amazing what I've seen my clients, their lives and relationships, and they change careers, they start new things, they have different experience. I mean, it's just, it's overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelmingly beautiful.
Yeah, I'm must very, be very, very satisfying. Glad. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
I can imagine. I just had one more question for you, and I was wondering about your thoughts on the importance of pleasure related in our lives and sort of the difference between pleasure and, I think pleasure and entertainment can get confused, but I don't know. It's just sort of a very broad question. I'm not sure what your thoughts would be. It seems like we're looking for sometimes comfort, but also maybe a form of pleasure through food or a food cravings. And I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to say about that in terms of our lives and sort of how else to approach pleasure, or if that's a component of something, how
it's
you work with women.
It's a huge component. It's a huge component. It's one of the number one things that are missing from our lives. As we become adults, we lose play. Everything is so scheduled, and our world becomes small and not expansive, and we take less time for ourselves. And even when we are taking time for ourselves, like, I have women, and they're like, no, well, if I get manicures, I do. And I'm like, well, when you're doing it, are you really present? Are you listening to, you know, reading a new book or just having your eyes closed? Or are you on text and emails? Are you just waiting for it to end because it's another task, right? So there's a lot of pleasure that's missing. And I can't tell you how many people that I talk to, where I go, when's the last time you really had fun and laughed? When's the last time you really felt sexy and just went out with your girlfriends or went out on a date with your man or just a date, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that we work on. It goes hand in hand. The more you fill up your life with meaning and fun and pleasure and you feel alive, the less you need food to fill up your life.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's down. Yeah. So it's definitely something that we should have enjoy exploring. Where is it, you know, where could we put in more? What would that be, scheduling it in even?
It's the number one thing that I work on it in my second week with my clients.
Ah.
Hands down.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I just want to ask you if there's any last thing you want to make sure that you share with us today that we haven't covered, and then just also let people know where they can find you and what you offer.
Yeah,
you know, in terms of groups and.
Again, I mean, I think the primary things here, guys, is connect with yourself. Take time to get to know you, how it is you want to feel, and what it is you want. And where you're at with your relationship with yourself and food and your body, right? A big thing is, you know, that ends up happening is that self-sabotage. So where are you getting in your own way? And then ask yourself why, right? Go back to those questions when you're having your cravings and say, is food going to solve the problem? What can I do instead, right? Am I really hungry? And get clear on the type of craving and what's going on. In terms of what I have coming up and everything, my website is melissakathryn.com, and that's KATHRYN.com, and my name is one L two S's. And I have a new group that's starting. That's my Be Radiant group, and it's 90 Days to Lasting Weight Loss, and it is not about diet. But it's about giving you those lasting tools that you need. And that program is starting at the end of April. So I'm really excited about that. And you can learn more about that at beradiant.com. And I do bi-weekly free workshops. It's it's a blogcast, and it's the MK Show, Healthy Happy Hour. And the topics change often. And I would love for you guys to come and be on that and share, and just learn a ton and get connected. And the other thing that you can do is I just created a new free gift on my website, which is my 7-day guide to getting fit and feeling fabulous. And so when you go to my website, you'll be able to get that for free, and it's a good 20-page guide.
Oh, wow. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been really interesting. You've given us lots of really good information, and I love it because it's also been inspiring. So it's a great combination.
That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, you did it. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks so much. And thanks everyone for joining us. And definitely, you know, if you've been intrigued and inspired by this conversation, then do check out Melissa's website and all that she has to offer. So thanks again, and take care. Bye.
Bye.